You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
We have another Rec Room song that we had a special request to do tonight. And, Brother Rick, can you get that, "They May Know My Number, But Jesus Knows My Name"? We had a request for that tonight. We hadn't played it in quite a while, so you may not be familiar with it. And, you're welcome to join us if you want to sing it with us. But we're going to play that. "They May Know My Number, But Jesus Knows My Name." And this was written by a guy that was spending time in the big house. And they had a cemetery out there. Some of you may have seen it when you were there, if you were in that particular place anyway. And it may be that way at all prisons. I don't know. But when they bury you, when you die while you're there, they bury you with a number. Your number, but not your name. And he was looking at that and thought, you know what? I don't care if they know my name or not, because Jesus knows who I am and He saved my soul. And that's what really matters to me. That's what matters to us, is that Jesus knows us.
I made some mistakes in my life. Now I'm reaping what I have sown. Doing my time with all the rest, waiting on my parole. Though I've been locked up, I can still be free by the blood of the precious Lamb. When He came in, He forgave my sin, and He knows who I am. They may know my number, Jesus knows. Jesus has loosed my chain. I'm a new man with a new heart, and I won't ever be the same. They may know my number, Jesus knows my name. Sinner repents of his sin, and he calls on the name of the Lord. Then his name is written in the book of life, as the angels all rejoice. So if they bury me all alone with my number on the cross of white, won't matter to me, 'cause I'm gonna be up in heaven. If you're doing some time with all the rest, and you're waiting on your parole, though you've been locked up, you can still be free by the blood of the precious Lamb. Cast Jesus in, He'll forgive your sin. He knows who you are. He's the great I Am. They may know. But Jesus knows my name. I might spend my life behind the thought, but Jesus has loosed my chain. And I'm a new man with a new heart.
Jesus knows our name.
You to turn in your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, if you don't have a Bible, it'd be kind of hard if you do that. But if you'd like to do that and don't have a Bible, we got one for you. If you would like to have a Bible, lift your hand, and we got some folks that will put one in your hand. And let me say this about those Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, keep that one as just the gift from the rec room to you. Now, if you are just using it for tonight and do not need it, if you will just put it on that table at the back of the room when you walk out, we would appreciate it. But if you don't have a Bible, we'd love for you to. That'd just be our gift to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul wrote half of the New Testament. Paul went into a lot of places after he became a Christian and started churches. And Corinth was a port city in Greece. Corinth was a wild city. It was like a lot of port cities, like Houston or Miami or New York. A lot of different people came in there from different countries. I remember years ago when I moved to Houston, Houston was transplanted Texans. I lived there a little while and it became transplanted Southerners, and then it went from transplanted Americans, and then you walk into 7-Eleven and all they could tell you is the price of something. They couldn't tell you what bread was. They came different nation. You couldn't converse with them. Though a lot of influx, a lot of mixing and mingling. And most of those cities are pretty wild cities. A lot of things going on. In fact, Corinth was called the city of license. You could just do anything you wanted to do. Anything you're big enough to do, get with it. It was not like Athens, Greece at all. That was a place of higher learning and where the philosophers discussed things. They didn't do that at Corinth. They just got with it and lived like the devil. And that's where Paul went with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, he did that in a lot of places. And it's amazing that the gospel of Jesus Christ seems to affect the wild crowd better than it does the highfalutin crowd. It seems to appeal. Now, there's back when I was going to college and trying to make a buck here and there, I broke horses for a rancher outside the place where I was going. He'd bring them in and I'd break those horses so much head. And this is what I found out about horses. You get that young horse that's been just walked around and petted and fed, and that horse may never buck. You just start him out good. Don't ever let him buck, and he won't buck. But you get that 4-year-old, that 5-year-old that's never been broke, and now it's a matter of wills, let me tell you. And they are liable to break in two at any time. I'm going to tell you, I've been dumped in a water. it is a whole different thing. And when Paul went into Corinth, this is the type of people. They were the wild bunch. They hadn't been broke, and they didn't want to be broke. And Paul preached to them, and even in that church that he started, the first church of Corinth, they had more problems than you could shake a stick at. They had false doctrine rising up. They had incest. They had folks fighting one another and scrapping. They just had all kinds of problems. And Paul writes to them in this sixth chapter and brings up something that is so good about the gospel of Christ. Let me tell you something about your relationship with God. It always gets better. God's relationship with mankind will start with a cross, but it'll end with a crown. It'll start with suffering, but it'll end with glory. The thing about living for Jesus Christ is the fact that it's going to get better. Regardless of what you're going through tonight, this past week, Tuesday morning, I sat out to jail, talked to two different guys, tried to kill themselves. Regardless of what you're going through, I met him when he was a 17-year-old boy. He tried to kill himself then. And I walked out down in the rubber room, which they actually have. Some of you are familiar with that. And had him shackled. He's 17. He got off in some sexual perversion things. And he began to feel guilty about it. And went and confessed it to try to get some help. You know how they helped him? Threw him in jail. But since that time, he's chosen to not take some help when people did offer some help. And in fact, he even told me one time he was going to a gay church. And I said, well, that's kind of like a Christian liquor store. Well, you ain't doing that. See? But the misery that it brings in people and the scars that it leaves. Living for Jesus, I don't care how rough it always gets better. Paul said it this way. He said, I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And so Paul kind of starts on them here, and he's talking to them in the first few verses of chapter 6. About some of the things they're doing. They were going to law for one another. They suing for one another. They stealing from one another. They've gone through all this. But I want to pick up down here at verse 9. And he said, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And let me stop here just a second before we pick that back up. He points out real quick. He said, let me tell you something. Unrighteousness won't cut it. Now, I don't care. You can argue about anything you want to. I can remember in my younger days, I argued about this is all right and that's all right. I argued about stuff. I didn't even know what I was talking about. But I knew better. And he said, unrighteousness here cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And then he said, be not deceived. He said, don't lie to yourself. And he's writing to this church. He's writing to church people. He's not writing down here to the crack house. He's not writing at the place where they got the casinos. He's writing to this church. And this is what he said. He calls some of them fornicators. Fornicators. Today there are pornographers. There are sex goddesses. This nation and most of the world is built on sex perverted. God started sex. God introduced sex before sin ever came in. Satan just perverted it, like everything that God has put. And so he said, neither fornicators. Then he said, idolaters. Idolaters are anybody, or idolaters is anything that you would put above Jesus. Now listen to me carefully here. That doesn't mean that you make you a Cupid doll and fall down and worship it. It might just mean you put your family before Jesus. Might just mean you put your church before Jesus. Might just mean that you put your denomination before Jesus. Our job. Well, I gotta make a living. Well, try making a life first, and then God will give you a living. See? We need some of those things. Next thing he mentioned is adulterers. We live in a time when we change wives and husbands like trading in a car. Well, I gotta get a new model. That's wore out, you know. Well, maybe you're the one wore out. Who knows? See? Effeminate. Now in the Greek, that means queers. Y'all didn't know I knew the Greek, did you? Effeminate. We're calling that a different lifestyle, an alternate lifestyle. I know it's perversion. Just very simple. It's sin. Abusers of themselves. Look at scars. Crack houses. Drug addicts. Killing ourselves. Alcoholics. And he's going to touch on that. He's going to talk about the drunkards. Then the thieves. Now, let me tell you something else about thieves. I don't care where you robbed the business or just didn't pay child support. See, I don't care if you stuck up the place or if you just didn't pay your bills. It's all thievery. Hey, if we don't pay what we owe, we stole it from somebody. Of course, there's nobody in here that's ever said, loan me 20. My question is, did anybody ever pay the 20 back? you know, loan me 20. And we're all optimists by heart because those of us that had the 20 thought we was going to get it back. Now, when we knew we wasn't going to pay it back, when we did it, same thing. Then he said, covetousness, just wanting more. We keep wanting stuff. And you say, man, if I just had this, I'd be happy. And sometimes we get that, and we're not happy 2 days. Then we want something else. Drunkards. Back when I started drinking as a young kid, I started drinking to learn to dance. That's why I've always been fascinated at AA gives dances. Oh man, that's what got me in trouble. Now, because I had two left feet. Couldn't dance very well, but you get a little booze or drugs in you and you look sharp. I can remember it. My second marriage, we partied a lot. Came in one night and she said to me, did anybody ever tell you you were a fantastic dancer? Had a tremendous way with women and had a great personality? I said, no, I don't guess they did. And she said, then where'd you get the idea? But let me tell you, when I quit drinking, wasn't drinking to lose my inhibitions. I was drinking for the same reason I get a shot and get a root canal. Won't stop the pain. I wanted to anesthetize myself. The pain of being a loser. The pain of failing as a daddy. The pain of failing as a husband. The pain of failing as a man. The pain of failing as a son, just the pain of failing. And so if I could anesthetize myself and stop that pain, get out of reality. The next thing he mentioned was revilers. Revilers. How many people know with an abusive language? Listen to the way some people, listen to the way some of the kids talk to their parents. Let me tell you, I hear some of that going on. I've heard my grandkid talk to my kids. And it's all I could do to just keep my mouth shut. Because I'm going to tell you something. If I'd have done that, why not? My daddy would knock me colder than a wedge. See? And there's another little verse under that. He learned that from his daddy, and then I passed it on to my kids. See? And we revile. We start cussing them out. I don't understand this generation. Remember, he's talking, hey, by the way, this is church people. They're on the roll. They show up on Sunday. I bet some of them teaching classes. That's who he's talking to. Then he said extortioners. That's the cheats. That's those that scam, those that con. And we got as much of that in the ministry as we got out of it. Just extortion. Getting stuff without having to work for it. And he just point blank, and let me say this, by now, if I haven't touched on your situation, you hadn't been paying attention. And I probably already offended some of you. Well, I just don't think y'all talk like that. You just shouldn't say things like that. Paul did. I didn't write this. I'm just reading it. Okay? Paul called it. He lists 10 things here. Remember what I told you about God? God always gets better. I want you to notice the next verse. Look at verse 11. Here. He said, and such were some of you. Notice the were some, past tense. He said, and such were some of you. Now he's been getting on them for these things. They had things going on in the church. But he said, such were some of you. Here's what you used to be. This was your past, but it's not your present and it's not your future when you trust Jesus Christ. See, you don't have to be what you used to be. See? That's what he's talking about. He said, and such were some of you, but listen to this. He said that you're washed. Brother, I'm clean. I'm sorry and dirty and no good, but tonight I'm clean because I've been washed by Jesus Christ. See, he said, you're washed, you're sanctified. Now, y'all can't tell it, but I am. See? And you're justified. You know what justified means? It's a legal term. It means just as if I'd never sinned. God's got a delete button. God can erase it. We can't. It sticks with us. It's still on the record. They can pull us up on the computer. But God says you're washed. You're sanctified. You're justified. Notice, in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All three of them. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are mentioned here. Walked by and they stamped it and said he's clean. And the next one said he's clean. And the next one said he's clean. This is what God does for the sinner who trusts his son. Man alive, here's what it can be. And we're endorsed by God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Such were some of you. We're not that anymore. Does that mean we won't slip and do something? But that's not who we are. I'm not a drunkard anymore. I'm not these things anymore. That's not me. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's the main concern, I guess, of the rec group. We help to find jobs. We help to do a lot of things, and we want to, and we want to put the ladder of success up, and we want to make sure it's on the right building for everybody in here. But that right building will be the blood of Jesus Christ. That will get us to heaven. That will get us clean. God can do that. I can't do that. Clover House can't do that. The criminal justice system can't do it. The Constitution can't do it. The Bill of Rights can't do it. But Jesus Christ can. I want you to bow your head for a moment. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And maybe you might have had to check all 10 items that we went down and said, I'm guilty. But let me tell you this. If you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, they're washed away. You have hope. That's God's business, is hope. Now, if you've never trusted Christ, you don't have to go another day without Him. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you said, Leland, I've never trusted Jesus Christ. I'm lost. I'm guilty. Would you slip your hand up? I want to pray for you. Just slip your hand up. Nobody looking around. God bless you. I see you and I see you. Anybody else real quick? You just slip them down, hon. Yeah, I see you, sir. Just anyone else, slip it up. We're going to pray in just a moment. Yes, I see you. And you, hon. Anyone else? Our Heavenly Father. Oh, thank you for Jesus. That is sorry and is rotten and is no good as we've all been. You came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why Jesus came. Didn't come to start church. Didn't come to clean up everybody's act. He came to save people and get them to heaven. And Father, we know by your authority that we can, what you said, that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that you'd raised him from the dead, we'd be saved. So, Father, so I'm going to ask these people to do. You're also here and you're God's child. But you hadn't been living like it. Maybe you've been disappointed. Maybe you've been irritable. Maybe you didn't realize that your sins were gone. Maybe you just forgotten what Jesus had done for you. Maybe you need to come tonight and not necessarily talk to me or anybody else. You just need to come to this altar. Say, Lord, I wandered far from you. I've forgotten what you did for me. I want that joy and that peace that comes from being a Christian. I'm not enjoying what you've done for me. I'm sleeping out in the backyard when you've already got me a room. I want to have that peace and that joy and that happiness. Just rededicate your life. I want you to stand to your feet, head still bowed, eyes still closed. Stand, and as Brother Doug sang the verse of Just As I Am, without one plea. I want you to step out. If you need to be saved, I want you to come. We will go over that for you, how to be saved. Trust Christ as your Savior. I want you to come right now. Come on. What God wants you to do. I want to trust Christ. You admitted tonight that you're not saved. You can be that. Don't leave this building without that. It's free. It's not cheap, but it's free. He paid the price. Would you come right now? The more of you needed, you come to this altar. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Come on. Just as you are. Get rid of it. Come on. and I'm going to ask Brother Doug to sing one last verse. Some of you to acknowledge that you need to trust Christ. No better time than right now. Some of you know what to do. You say, well, I need to get this done. I need to get that done. Satan's given you 100 reasons. Well, I'm afraid I can't live it. No, don't be afraid of that. I guarantee you can't. We'll settle that real quickly. Not a person in here can live worthy going to heaven. But everybody in here can go to heaven because of Jesus Christ. Don't put him off. Don't let Satan or your pride or whatever it is keep you from doing the greatest thing in your life, and that's trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Brother Doug's going to sing one verse. Nobody comes. We're through. Sing, Brother Doug.
Just as I am.
Now's the time. Would you do it?
Ladies at the table. Refreshment bar's open. Thank you for being here. God bless you. See you next week. Have a great week.
His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.